Thank you so much for the introduction. My name is Nicole Michelson, and I'm a third-year undergraduate neuroscience student at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. And I conducted a study to assess subjective social status and its role on psychological distress in mothers of young children. And I have no disclosures. So relative to measures of objective socioeconomic status, the use of subjective social status is relatively new and came about in part as a means to deal with the shortcomings of using objective social status to predict health outcomes. And the use of indicators that quantify access to resources, social capital, or prestige, such as income, education, or occupation, are limited due to a number of things, such as inaccurate reporting of income, comparing educational attainment without regard for educational quality, and comparing occupations. So an alternative measure is shown here, and it asks respondents to compare themselves either to others in their community, which we call the community ladder and is on the left, or others in the United States, which we call the socioeconomic status ladder, since it's commonly used as a proxy for objective socioeconomic status. And as you'll see, the definition of community is open-ended. And respondents are asked to define community as is most meaningful to them. And this allows them to really compare community to their own social circles, whether that be a place of worship, a school, a neighborhood, an extended family. And so this allows respondents or researchers to gain a glimpse into the social positioning of our respondents. The use of subjective social status has been evaluated before, and the MacArthur scale has been a robust predictor of adult self-rated health, mortality, and functional decline, such that those with higher subjective social status enjoyed better self-rated health, lower mortality, and lower functional decline. These studies have been conducted in a vast array of people, ranging from healthy white women to London-based civil servants to seniors. And most importantly, what these studies have shown is that these associations between subjective social status and these health outcomes persist even after objective socioeconomic status is accounted for, which suggests to us that perhaps subjective social status is capturing something and contributing to health in a way that objective socioeconomic status just can't show us. Previous studies have also found that these relationships differ by race. However, the exact direction and relationship differs by outcome. So, for example, in a study conducted to look at the associations between subjective social status and risk for cardiovascular disease, these associations were salient in white and Chinese women, but not in black or Latina women. And similarly, lower ranking on the socioeconomic status ladder has been associated with lower self-rated health in white women, but not in black women. So what we know specifically about subjective social status and mental health comes from a number of studies. Within this context, in 18 countries around the world, lower socioeconomic status ladder ranking has been associated with a higher prevalence of mood, anxiety, and impulse control disorders. In women specifically, one study showed that lower rankings on the community ladder, but not on the SES ladder, predicted major depressive disorder, independent of other demographic information and subjective or objective socioeconomic status. And the conclusions from these studies have been that the ladder rankings capture the psychological correlates of poverty. With regards to maternal mental health specifically, many studies have shown that the socioeconomic status ladder has been the most consistent predictor of minor, major, and major depressive symptoms 6 months postpartum. To our knowledge, the studies conducted to date relating maternal mental health and subjective social status were confined to the prenatal and the perinatal period, but we were also interested in looking at mothers in the postnatal period, in large part because maternal mental distress is more prevalent during early childhood and because maternal mental health has such a formative impact on later childhood outcomes. Our next question was whether these relative contributions, or whether these ladders contributed differently, because what we know about the studies to date concerning maternal mental health specifically is that most studies have quantified subjective social status using only the socioeconomic status ladder, and we wanted to look at the role of community in maternal mental health. And lastly, we asked whether these relationships differed by race. In our program, it's listed that we also looked at parent-child index scores as a means to quantify or look at the role between subjective social status and mental health, but because of limitations in our measures, these relationships were difficult to quantify, and are due to our time limitations today, I'm going to focus primarily on maternal mental health. So in total, we had 166 participants who were all mothers of five-year-old children. 73 of these women were part of a larger study on the impact of normative fetal development on child self-regulatory function called Fetus to Five. And then to enrich the socioeconomic and racial diversity of our sample, we recruited an additional 93 mothers via flyers in schools, grocery stores, and places of worship. Overall, mothers from the original Fetus to Five study were more advantaged than those that came from the community, and mothers came to the lab, and over the course of a 90-minute period, a battery of cognitive tests were performed on children, and mothers filled out a questionnaire that assessed maternal psychological distress and reported family sociodemographic information. In addition, research assistants observed parent-child interaction. So our outcome variables were depressive symptoms, anxiety, and social support, as measured by the CESD, the Spielberger State Trait Anxiety Index, Y2, and the Duke UNC Social Support Scale. All of these have high internal consistency, test-retest reliability, and good psychometric properties. And our independent variables were previously shown. Those are the community and the SES ladder rankings, which mothers self-reported. And then to account for sociodemographic characteristics, we evaluated the following covariates, and these are family income, maternal education, marital status, number of children in the home, age, and race. So we started by running bivariate quantile regression models with our ladders as the independent variables and our three measures of maternal psychological distress as the outcomes: depression, anxiety, and social support. After these unadjusted models were fit, we adjusted for the covariates. And to assess the relative contributions of both ladders, we placed both the community ladder and the SES ladder as independent variables in the same models. And we, again, ran these adjusted and unadjusted and adjusted for the covariates. And lastly, to determine whether these associations differed by race, we stratified our sample. And to deal with multicollinearity in the covariates, we used variance inflation factors. Income and marital status were excluded from the final models since they were highly correlated with race and education. We ultimately used a non-parametric approach, quantile regressions with bootstrap standard errors, because our outcome variables were skewed and remain skewed despite any statistical transformations. So our sample was socioeconomically diverse and consisted primarily of either white or African-American women. We had 68 white mothers and 88 African-American mothers, and we found that African-American mothers were younger, less likely to be married, reported lower family income, and on average rated themselves more than two rungs lower on the SES ladder. They reported depressive symptoms on average just under the clinical cutoff of 16 and generally reported more anxiety symptoms than their white counterparts. However, interestingly, despite African-American mothers ranking themselves on average two rungs lower on the SES ladder, both groups of mothers reported similar levels of social support and ranked themselves equally on the community ladder. And that's what's referred to with the eras. So consistent with our hypothesis, bivariate analyses showed that both lower SES and community ladder rankings were associated with maternal report of depressive symptoms, trait anxiety, and less perceived social support. And after adjusting for these covariates, both ladders remained positively associated with perceived social support. And the community ladder ranking remained inversely related to depressive symptoms. However, anxiety was not associated with either ladder in the adjusted models. And interestingly, as shown here, when we added both ladders to the model, only the community ladder remained significant with any measure of maternal distress, namely depressive symptoms and social support. And after stratifying our sample by race, we saw that this robust relationship between community self-rank and social support was confined to African-American mothers only. So overall, we found that both ladders positively associated with maternal mental well-being. The most robust relationship was between the community ladder and social support. And in a way, the fact that community social standing predicted maternal mental health over and above the SES ladder confirms previous reports that that one's subjective social status is a better predictor of health outcomes than objective social status, since the SES ladder is a proxy for objective socioeconomic status. Lower status on either ladder associated with less social support, and lower status on the community ladder only associated with more depressive symptoms. Again, this relationship was confined to the African-American mothers in our sample. So there are a few limitations worth noting. First is that we only had three measures of maternal psychological distress, and it's hard to say whether depression, anxiety, and social support captured a holistic snapshot of these mothers' mental health. In addition, as is common to most urban settings in America, this study was conducted in Baltimore, so race and socioeconomic status were highly correlated. However, interestingly, when we did stratify the group by income, we didn't see this same salient relationship between community self-rank and social support. And lastly, because we only had two races in the group, we weren't able to test a wide range of other racial or ethnic groups, which would have been important in order to gain a more nuanced understanding of the role of culture and community on psychological distress. So because we found that the community ladder was associated with maternal distress, this tool could potentially be used as a brief, low literacy, and non-stigmatizing means to screen for risk of depression and social isolation, particularly in historically marginalized women or other people. And we hope that the results of this study can inform interventions that seek to strengthen communities and harness social support as a means to buffer people from the associations between low socioeconomic status and psychological distress. So although they couldn't be here today, I'd like to thank my PI, Dr. Sarah Johnson, for guiding me and being super patient as I, you know, tested out research for the first time. This was my first foray into research, and she really was incredible. She was an incredible teacher and mentor. And Dr. Jenna Reese for also always being there to answer my questions and to help me out with the statistics. And Dr. Janet DiPietro for the information from the Fetus to Five study. I'm now happy to take any questions.